sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Bon, mesdames et messieurs, nous sommes rendus à épisode 213. 213. Dos, Uno, and Tres. Thinking of a master plan. Thinking of a master plan.
Message!
Because ain't nothing but sweat inside my hand. So I dig into my pocket. All my money is spent. No, he actually says, all my money's spent. So I dig deeper, but still coming up with lint. Aw. So I start my mission, leave my residence, thinking, how can I get some dead presidents? Maybe that should be the title. I need money. I used to be a stick-up kid, so I think of all the devious thing I did. I used to roll up. This is a hole up. Ain't nothing funny. Stop smiling. Be still. Don't nothing move but the money. But come on, kids. But now I've learned to earn because I'm righteous. I feel great, so maybe I might just search for a 9-to-5. If I strive, then maybe I'll stay alive. So I walk up the streets whistling this, feeling out of place, cause man, do I miss a pen and a paper, stereotype of me and Eric B and a big plate of fish, which was my favorite dish. But without no money, it's still a wish. Cause I don't want to dream about getting paid, so I dig into the books of the rhymes that I made. So now's a test to see if I got pull. Hit the studio, cause I'm paid in full.
Message!
Welcome, bienvenue, à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, Beat Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lebanor. I'm tempted to change Mr. The real Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, but that's another story. Before I start with what's going to be another, what I promise to be another amazing show, I need to inform you new listeners that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and it's protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the
red, black,
and the red, blue.
Rouge bleu
up in this bitch. Rouge bleu up in this bitch. Rouge bleu up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question.
Are you an outcast?
This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on Sunday, October 20th, 2024. Damn, getting close to winter. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeling as a motherfucking true. If you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too.
The Niggatron.
Dang, I need to translate that. He said, what's up, Niggatron? This is a work in progress. I'm what I'm calling my audience. And within the Niggatron community, I need to acknowledge two categories. The first are all you returning listeners. Yo, from the bottom of my heart. The second category of Niggertrons I need to acknowledge is are new listeners. I don't know if you could be a new listener and then deserve a title. So I'm just going to say shout out to all you new listeners, especially if you happen to be clicking by the, on this mistake. Oh my God, I think I'm high. Especially if you happen to be clicking on this podcast by mistake. And for some reason, you still stuck around. To you, I say. The universe brought us together. All right, let me try not to fuck it up. Okay, all right. So much for first impressions. Right, this is the part where I remember how I record my podcast. All right, so for you, you to first time listeners, just to help you get familiarized with what you're about to hear is. So I like to break down my episodes into three parts. Parts which I prefer, which I'll be referring to as acts. The first act is the intro. Second act is news and random thought. And the final act is final thought. Now, so far in the intro, what you've heard is the theme song. As soon as you hit play, you heard the theme song, followed by me saying the title of today's episode, followed by some poetry, which, by the way, the poetry and the title are linked together and are linked to the final thought. And everything after that was a greeting, salutation, and a disclaimer. A disclaimer for everyone, but you know, if this was a class, I'd be looking at the white kids in the class. I'm like, your kids probably dropped you off here by mistake. Heads up. There's a chance you might want to run for the exit, okay? Run for Taco Bell! Okay. Oh, right. And before I like to finalize, I like to finalize the intro by sharing some thoughts, some quotes. And first one, usually they're quotes that I found on the internet. And usually it's a new thing I've been doing. The last two quotes, especially the last one, tend also relate to the final thought. Think of the final thought as an overall theme for the episode. All right, okay. So first one goes, I should mention there are three quotes. So this first one goes, some people come into your life just to teach you how to live alone. Yeah, shout out to solidarity. Solitude. If you move this butt, yeah, and I think it's fucking up my brain right now today. Who knows? Okay, second one goes, emotional abuse is designed to undermine another sense of self. Interesting. It is designed to undermine a sense of self. Okay, it is a deliberate humiliation with the intent to seize control of how others feel about themselves. And the author of that quote is Lorraine Nylon. Nylon, N-I-L-O-N. Last quote goes, life moves so fast, you gotta document the good times, man. Big boy. Yeah, that's definitely about the final thought. All right, okay, this concludes the first act. Let's jump to second act. All right, let's do this. You know, I've been watching, what's that on Netflix? Gundam, whatever. Basically about, you know, humanoid robot, big ass robots fighting each other and they use it as a robot. That's who Goldorak is. And I don't know, the childhood in me says Goldorak can kick Gundam's ass. I don't know, whatever. I'm talking out my ass here. Hold on. Am I pronouncing this right? Gundam? I guess it's based off a game. Okay, for those confused, Voltron, right? It's another Voltron, another type of Voltron. So Gundam is a Japanese military science fiction media franchise created by, Yoshiyuki Tomino and Sunrise. Now, Bendy and, the franchise features a giant robot of Mecha with the name Gundam. So is Goldorak a Gundam? whatever. Okay, you know, I'm off topic. I didn't mean to talk about this. All right, okay. So use a random thought. First item is a random thought. And I was thinking about this today as I went to, I'm trying to buy, look, you know what I hate? I'm trying to figure out if there's anything on the list of things I hate. I should be positive, but I'm not. Shop, especially for clothes, mainly for clothes. I hate shopping for clothes, especially in my city. Cause I don't fit in. I don't represent the target demographic. Like the shit that I have to buy, I gotta go to specialty stores. Cause I'm in the big and tall category, and the big and tall folks, they like to take advantage of the fact that where else you gonna buy clothes, fatty? You fucking dysfunctional, whatever. You gotta. You know what? I just realized that I've made this rant before about how I hate shopping, but fuck it, it's my goddamn podcast. Right, I'm trying to buy a casilotan, you know what I mean? It's fall, and I want to buy like one of those slick ass, I think they're called vests, winter vests, fall vests, whatever. And of course, I went to Old Navy. The biggest size they had was double X. I went try to go to my usual store, but turns out they closed at 5. And it just reminded me, I hate, some people love it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not shitting on people who do, but I'm just saying for me, I hate getting off my ass, going to the clothing store, trying to find what I like. And then when I finally find something that I like, then fuck, I got to try this on. Fuck, I hate that energy I got to spend too. And then the salesperson who's around, sometimes shout out to the salesperson who are helpful and give you space when you need space, as opposed to, oh, that looks nice on you. I'd fuck you. You know what I mean? Nice try, lady. Or nice try, sir. I'm not going to get this just because you might have sexual intercourse with me, but hypothetically speaking, what about your friends? Anyways, I'm just, I was just reminded of how much the stress of shopping for clothes. I could go online. Now, I did try buying shit online. And what sucks is I went on Amazon, bought like I was trying to buy like a regular tracksuit that I could, everyday tracksuit that I could wear. And I bought it and fuck. Yeah, it looked way better on the mannequin than it did on me. And I followed the measurement. It was one of those, the mistake I made. The it was just one of those, if I was in the store watching, I'm like, oh yeah, I would have never picked this fabric. Like the size of the pants were right, but the top was way too tight. I'm from the era of baggy clothes, and I'm sticking to baggy clothes, not just because I'm fat, because, you know, sticking to tradition. You kids in your tight pants, fuck that. Am I glad I'm not in that I didn't grow up in that gen. Well, who knows. No, there was a time when I used to wear tight pants. By the way, kids, to all the youngins listening to this podcast, shit goes in cycles. I remember, you know, I still remember where bell bottoms was out of style and then came back in style. Shit goes in cycles, folks. Nothing's new under the sun. All right. Speaking of nothing news under the sun, this is off the script, but I brought this up, is I went on ChatGPT and it said, hey, ChatGPT now has the internet. Now you can search shit on the internet. I'm like, oh, okay. Out of curiosity, I said, hey, look up Shut Up Podcast. Fuck. It gave me the blurb from my website and it gave me the website, the YouTube link of another podcast called Shut Up Podcast. And that pissed me off. Not the fact that there's another Shut Up Podcast. Sure. I did think I was unique at the time. But it was, come on, ChatGPT. Don't be fucking up like that. I mean, it's mistakes like that lead you to, like, today you're fucking up web address. Tomorrow you're, like, hunting us down and turning us into slaves. You know what I mean? Anyway, I'm just saying. I feel like being, like, a... finding out that there's another podcast. I mean, there's a lot of well-established podcasts out there called Shut Up Podcast. And I feel like going to beef, starting beef. You know what I mean? Because why? Toxic masculinity. Because I'm being a toxic male. instead of acknowledging them, say, oh, well, okay, well, we'll study what they do good, finding out things I might be able to learn from that. Nah, fuck that. I'm going to beef, fuck that. I'm going to be like Shug Knight. All in your records. Well, he was justified, this and Puffy, but the toxicness that I'm talking about is less about that, but I remember in the comedy community, it's like us black comics, we were like all fighting for one piece of the pie. And it was hard to, it's not that it was hard, but it was common to be like, fuck that nigga. Like another black comic being successful, making it, and you want to be like, fuck that nigga. My shit more John Blaze than them. Or my shit more John Blaze than her. Because we were like all fighting for the same piece of the pie. It's like self-destruction. You're heading for self-destruction. Squeak. Anyways. All right. Okay. Didn't mean to talk about Shut Up Podcast, but I got to figure out what to do. Do I rename the podcast? Do I stand strong? do I hope that their fans discover my podcast and be like, let me check this out. Kendrick Lamar, King Kendrick Lamar. He goes, I'm usually homeboys with the people I'm rhyming with, but this is hip hop and they should know what time it is. This goes out to all the Shut Up Podcasts. I'm trying to murder you niggas. I'm not gonna fuck up another rap. All right. Speaking of a fucking up rap verse, this week, if you'll notice in the other links section, I've labeled one of the links called New Music, and it's by Thought Squad, Hoes Depressed. Now, I'm not gonna make the mistake of playing the track on the podcast because YouTube doesn't like that shit. I'll mute the whole ass podcast for that. I don't have copywritten. I don't have rights on whatever, so I'm not going to play it. I'm not going to risk it, but I am going to recite the chorus. It's a dope chorus, and it goes, hoes, depressed. I take my meds. That man is in distress. He ain't getting no head. I said them hoes, distress. I take my meds. I'll beat that bitch to death. JK, I take my meds. Boom, boom. Anyways, the beat is awesome. And the video is creative as fuck, which I miss from hip hop. I love these moments when, maybe that's what today's theme is about, just acknowledging the good times. I love these moments when I discover a new creative rap artist and it just get my attention. Like, this chorus is stuck in my head right now. You should check it out for yourself. And I should say shout out to the IG. Let me find the link. Shout out to the person on IG who posted it and made this possible. Hold on. I'm going to credit the person who, thank God it's on mute. Black Bunny? Black Bunny on IG. Yeah. Now, I don't know if this video is, look, this lady is just funny, man. This content creator is just funny. All right. Okay. Hoes, depressed. Remember that. If you're not getting any head, because hoes depressed. All right, okay. Next item. Granville Wood made the walkie-talkie. Next item falls under this category.
You must learn.
There we go. What did he say?
You must learn.
You must learn. All right, so on that same song by KRS-One, You Must Learn, and again, if you haven't heard that song by KRS-One, homework. That's homework for after the podcast. Google the song You Must Learn by KRS-One, or it might be listed under Boogie Down Production, because he was Boogie Down Production when it came out. Anyways, and KRS-One dropped some sides because he's the teacher, right? But there's a line where he says, Granville Woods made the walkie-talkie, Louis Latimer improve on Edison, Charles Schultz did a lot for medicine, Gary Moore. I love these great lyrics. Dope-ass lyrics. All this to say, I'm minding my own business, scrolling for social media, because that's what I spend a lot of my time doing, and I found a link about talking about Granville T. Woods. And apparently, you know, Granville T. Woods did more. I mean, I guess I should have read the book, but whatever. He did more than just create the walkie-talkie. He also, well, I'll let him explain it. Here we go.
This is why you need to know Granville T. Woods, the genius behind the first electric roller coaster, an unsung hero who electrified our world in more ways than one. Mm. Born in 1856, this brilliant black inventor received over 50 patents, revolutionizing everything from automatic brakes to phonographs. Mm. But it's his work on the figure eight roller coaster that changed the thrill game forever. Originally designed for trains, Woods modified his electric rail system to power an amusement ride, wow, debuting it at Coney Island in 1892. Imagine the excitement of that first ride, the sensation of speed and innovation merging into pure joy. Yet Woods faced incredible resistance.
Of course.
In a time when society couldn't fathom a black man at the forefront of innovation, many of his ideas were stolen. Mm. Woods' inventions were so groundbreaking that companies like General Electric, Westinghouse, and American Engineering sought them out. When he passed away in 1910, he was remembered as the Black Thomas Edison. And in a fitting tribute in April 2008, the corner of Stillwell and Mermaid Avenues was named Granville T. Woods Way. So next time you experience the thrill of a roller coaster, remember the genius who made it possible. Granville T. Woods, a name worth celebrating.
Okay, let me look this up. Not that I doubt, I mean, why would a white man lie to me about a black man's accomplishment? Hold on a second. Again, like I said, I thought he only made a walkie-talkie because, you know, I get all my information from epic rap battles. Okay, I'm not going to play that. Can I play this on here? Okay, let me read the first paragraph of the paragraph entry. Paragraph entry. What the fuck was that? Paragraph entry. Wow, that was random. That I think I need a peep-pop on my microphone. All right. Oh, the T stands for Taylor. Granville Taylor, well, Taylor, T-I-E-L-E-L, I guess it's Taylor, Taylor Woods, April 23rd, 1856 to January, and he died January 30th, 1910. You know, I realize there's going to be a lot of history on this podcast, all right, on this episode. Granville Taylor Woods was an American inventor who held more than 50 patents in the United States. He was the first African-American mechanical an electrical engineer after the Civil War. Wow. Self-taught, he concentrated most of his work on trains and street carts. Wow. One of his inventions is the synchronous multiplex railway telegraph, a variation of induction telegraph that relied on ambient static electricity from existing telegraph lines to send messages between train stations and moving trains. Granville T. Woods invented and patented the tunnel construction, the electric railroad system. The tunnel construction for the electric railroad system. Electrical roller coaster message, and multiple newspapers referred to him as the Black Edison. Man, fuck Edison. Okay. Okay, inventions. Okay, that's a long list. We're not going to go for all the inventions. But let me do a control F for walkie. Karis, one lie to me? What the fuck? Okay. Did Granville Woods invent the walkie talkie? Okay, Karis, one wouldn't lie to me, but maybe he got it wrong. Or maybe he just patented tunnel construction. Steam boiler furnace. Okay, he's got a lot of inventions, which he called the telephony. Oh. You know what? Okay, you can look it up for it. But I'm just thinking about how a black man invented the roller coaster. And look, if I was white in that time, I'm not getting on that roller coaster. Who am I kidding? I'm not going to get on that roller coaster, period. I don't get on roller coasters. I've never been on a roller coaster. I was on a child one. Probably the scariest ride I've ever been on is the Zipper. And that was because Pussy was promised. Shout out to the girlfriend, my girlfriend at the time. She saw it as, oh, you did it for me? I'm like, well, yeah, partly because I didn't want you to call me a bitch, you know, because I'm high school and I'm insecure. And last thing I need her is, well, I mean, this was before the internet, but still, last thing I need her is to be like, hey, man, he wouldn't. I said I'd give him some pussy. Anyways, disappointed to find out he didn't invent the, oh, focus, B. Yeah, the roller coaster. A black man invented the roller coaster. And, you know what? I need to read that story. How he came about. How does one invent the whole roller coaster? What made him say that? Yo, let me freak these motherfuckers out. Or maybe it was, since he was familiar with trains, it's like, hey, let me create a simulation of, anyway, fascinating. I'm having a thought exercise on how one creates a roller coaster. Wow. Anyways, shout out. So, yeah, this concludes.
You must learn.
Shout out to, we recognize Granville T. Woods. Okay. This one is more of acknowledgement of a, shout out to someone on Reddit who posted, on this day, 1859, John Brown did absolutely nothing wrong. Now, I'm just using this as an opportunity to just talk about John Brown. And for those who are not familiar, I added the link to the show notes. In 1859, the nothing wrong they refer to is, I Googled it, is, okay, I'll read it. Not bad, eh? You're getting two readings from me. Just the blurb in John Brown. It was the John Brown's raid on Harper's Ferry. Okay, this is kind of long. Oops, sorry. Nope. Okay, let me shut down my phone. Okay, so he goes, John Brown raid on Harper Ferry was an effort by abolitionist John Brown from February 16 to 1859 to initiate a slave revolt in southern states by taking over a United States arsenal at Harper's Ferry, Virginia, since 1863, West Virginia. Okay, Harper's Ferry. I was confused by that name. Harper's Ferry is what we now call West Virginia. It has been called the dress rehearsal for the tragic prelude to the American Civil War. I've been calling it the first punch. And okay, I'm not gonna read the whole thing. There was a paragraph. Okay, I see. Because I linked to John Brown's raid of the Harper's Ferry. What I read was the entry about John Brown, where he just says, again, I'm not gonna go into the details. Did I mention John Brown was white? Okay, so that's what makes it a big deal. They don't make them like they used to. I'm going to read a quote that someone shared in the comment section by Frederick Douglass. It goes, "The true question is, did John Brown draw his sword against slavery and thereby lose his life in vain? And to this, I answer 10,000 times, no. No man fails. Sorry, I just had a thought. No, no man fails or can fail who so grandly gives himself and all he has to a righteous cause. John Brown's zeal, the cause of freedom, was infinitely superior to mine. Mine was to the taper light. His was as the burning sun." He speaks so well. "I could live for the slave. John Brown could die for him." You know, it's the thought that I have, and it's going to relate to another segment that I have, because I'm going to rush to it, right, is the whole idea of we're all in this together. I remember the first time when reading the quote by Martin Luther King. He said, "An injustice to one is an injustice to all." And I didn't get it at the time, and I agree with it. And I tell you what, this allows me to segue to the last segment on in News and Random Thought. And it goes, "Abuse happens in silence." And I'm going to play something a content creator express. You know what? I'm just gonna play it and share my thoughts after. The whole telling your story.
I don't understand why you're on the internet telling everybody your business. Okay, so you don't think that people should know that he was abusive? It's private. Why don't you just talk to your therapist about it? I don't think I understand why it's private. You just deal with it privately. Not everybody on the internet needs to know all your business. Let me ask you something. Who do you think benefits from that silence, from that privacy? How can you not see that you're embarrassing yourself? What do I have to be embarrassed about? I didn't abuse anybody for a decade. Maybe you should be. The only person that benefits from that is the abuser. You know, you sound dumb. Why are you calling me names? You know what? You should really keep your opinion private. You should really keep your opinion of what you think of domestic violence victims to yourself. I'm literally just trying to save you the embarrassment. I don't understand why people put all of their business on social media. Okay, fair. And I don't understand why people who've never been through domestic violence have such strong opinions about the way that abuse victims share. I don't understand how you don't understand that isolation is a problem, that abuse happens in silence, and that bringing it to light actually helps dismantle the systems that perpetuate abuse. You're missing the point. You're missing the point, I can assure you.
You're missing the point, I could assure you. You know what? The content creator's name is underscore stronger than before, underscore Lisa, strongerthanbefore.ca. Oh, she's Canadian. Oh, wow. She wrote in the caption, "Tell them victims to stop crying on the internet, stop telling their stories, only serves the abuser's agenda." You know, because I'm going to go from one point to another, I'm going to link this to John Brown, I'm thinking about another content creator who said, yo, our history, our world was designed by sociopaths. And, because I'm linking to what she said about how abusers benefit from the silence. I'm thinking about how the link I'm making is, I'm thinking about the shit John Brown got for doing what he like. Dude, the fuck's not your problem. It's not you who are in this chains. To me, that's what made John Brown, I joke when I said a great white man a great white man. Because what I mean to say is, a great human being. The idea, this is my theory, you know, I'm not a historian, but I'm going with this because when I connected the story of John Brown is, I get the feeling he abhorred, he hated slavery. Like he saw himself in those chains to the point that he, look, I grew up, all of us, most of us grew up in a world where, yo, mind your own business. I agree with that notion of mind your own business. Unless when it comes to injustice, unfairness. Okay, let me just try to make a link between John Brown and what this content creator shared about silence and how silence benefits the abuser. I talked about this in a past episode. I probably just glanced on it, right? But I was in a situation where I have a colleague, and he's not the first time. You know, it's not the colleague that I'm gonna blame, but I'm this culture in the workplace of turning a blind eye to toxic behavior, normalizing toxic behavior. This is not the first time I've been in work situation. I'm thinking of I'm gonna go in the past, right? I've been in a work situation where I was dealing with, I used to work with this guy who, I'm not going to say his name. Oh, fuck, he was a Christian. That's all you need to know. He was that guy that everyone talked shit behind their back. Why? Because they were assholes. They were shitty people. Just to give you an example, one time he was handing over someone's printout from the photocopy. You guys know what a printout is? Anyway, whatever. Sorry. Now, I'm not trying to be like, you Gen Zs, whatever. I'm old, and sometimes I make reference that. Anyways, so he took a printout from someone's, the photocopier, and you'd think he was being nice, and he threw it at them, at the person. But that's who they were. And it was one of those things that was, quote unquote, accepted. It was tolerated. He was like, He was shitty. He had a short temper, and it was just being me. You know, I just, well, since no one's saying anything about it, All you could do is hope that you don't become his victim. And when you do become his victim of his temper tantrums or whatever the fuck, instead of confronting him, you'd be like, you know what this motherfucker did? Yeah, he did that to me, blah, 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 blah. Oh, he's coming. Hey, what's going on? Whatever, man. And it's this normalizing toxic behavior. That's my point. Normalizing toxic behavior. And it's not just in the workplace, it's in the families. I have a relative who's like Trump supporter, and every fucking social gathering, it's always gets messed up. But it was like, hey, under the guise of he's family. Anyways, so there was a recent event at my work where I confronted a person for some toxic bullshit. I mean, it was days after, weekends had passed, but I remember person did on day one, did something toxic, you know, raised his voice at me, and just some fucked up, right? And I remember, because I'm Mr. I don't like confrontation, or combined with, I assume that we're all good people and you're just being out of character. So at the time, just it's my default response, I let it slide. But another coworker was there when he did that, and he caught that. And he was like, damn, you just chewed your head off. That made it worse. Cause so you did see what I'm saying. So I'm not making this shit up. Right? And so he saw that and it was just like, you know, it was just, oh, this dude just being who he is. So, you know, again, I'm on a journey to heal. I've been promising myself that I ain't, you know, fuck that, stand up for yourself and all that shit, right? So it lingered in my head all weekend. And then finally at a meeting of equals. You know, this could have been a final thought, but whatever. I am where I am right now. Okay. I confronted him about it in front of people. And when I did that, it wasn't intentional. No, usually it's one-on-one, but I confront in front of people. And, the person who's seen him do it, the other person, no, and another person who's seen his behavior before. So that's why I felt comfortable doing it. It's like, yo, fuck that. We ain't gonna get. I remember ending the conversation. At this rate, we're not going to get along. I'm not, you know, it's like, this is my way of saying, fuck this. I'm not, no more pretend liking. It's on, you know, it's strictly professional between me and you, but you and I are not friends, dog. Anyways, won't fucking do that shit again. Now, confronting him about him is one thing. What bothered me is one of the guys was like, hey, time and place. Another person was like, and the two people were there. One was time and place. Another person was like, yo, wish you would have warned me before you did that. And it just reminded me of, this is where I'm going, is how the society we live in, it's like we blame the person who reacts more to the toxic behavior. The person who reacts to the toxic behavior more than the asshole, the motherfucker with the toxic behavior. Like, it's just easier to just, yo, just let him be. Whatever. You know, you can't confirm. Nah. And the thing is, it's going to blow. I remember a barbershop I went to, and this dude that they kept, one of the barbers, because he was new, they were fucking with him. But I felt they went like above him. Like, it was worse. They were like fucking with this kid hard. And no one stood. Once in a while, someone would stand up for him. But for the most part, we just played it off as boys being boys. But I remember thinking, that dude would be right in his right mind. He's a ticking time bomb. It's only a matter of time before he snaps. And then after he snapped, it was going to be like, whoa, we were just playing with him. Oh, he's just a pussy, whatever. Basically blaming the victim. If you forget anything that I'm, if I'm not making sense, I'm talking about this whole culture of ours of blaming the person reacting to toxic behavior. No one likes disrespect. No one likes fucking disrespect. Just because you see someone like putting up with disrespect doesn't mean that they were okay with it. They're like, either it's they're biding their time or they just don't feel. I think my point is, no one likes it. If you see disrespect, cause and effect. Believe in cause and effect. Don't act surprised. Fucking, John Brown reacted violently to slavery. Now, most people will be like, what, dude, what do you give a fuck? It's just the niggers that are being enslaved. What do you care? You're a white man. Empathy. Part of the thing that bothers me that makes this life challenging for me, especially as a highly sensitive person, empathy, is how I spend a lot of time wondering, how are we tolerating this? I'm surrounded by people just saying, get over it, let it slide. It's just the way things are. I shout out to that lady who's like speaking up. It's like, it's a new thing on the internet where people just speaking about their abusers. Maybe that's what it's going to take. Stories like these for these abusers to be like, maybe I need to check myself. Because a lot of these abusers are like, hey, I can't control myself. I think about how I can be verbally abusive to my own self. And when I do it, there's like a need to do it. And sometimes I wonder if that's what, is that need to be verbally abused? Is that what people who are domestic abusers, is that what it is? It's like, there's this thing. It's just like natural. It's like, there's like a pain. There's like something going wrong on my inside and I need to lash out at something or someone. I don't know. But I'm just saying, I support the survivors speaking up about their condition. Sure, someone's embarrassed by it. Yes, my last relationship was abusive. So speak up like that. Yeah, but then the person who's like, oh, but you're going to ruin my reputation. Fuck you. Get yourself some help. No, I wholeheartedly agreed with this lady about these people on the internet saying, yo, keep it private. Yeah, that's the old way of thinking. I'm thinking about there's certain societies, okay, this is, if you lost me, you know, it's normal for you to feel like you lost me, but certain society where the woman is sexually harassed, is sexually assaulted, and she gets blamed. She's the one feeling shame for it, as opposed to the motherfucker who put his hands on her. You know, I'm saying we as a species have a long way to go. I think we're still like climbing out of our savage ways. I think it's barbaric to be like, hey, it's your fault that you were essayed. I think that's what it's going to take. It's just people speaking out about their abuse. It's no fun. Just being, fuck it. Why should I be ashamed? I'm the survivor in there. You're the one who's like, it's like blaming the person who was cheated on. Why the fuck was I? Wait, what? Nah, I'm not the one who violated her. Yeah, I don't know how to end. I'm going to end this with, I have another link in the other link section called Social Change, That's Why. And it's a woman who talks about, who explains herself. It's like, this is why I talk about my cheating ex. And she's playing a role of one person going, whoa, it's private. You should keep it to yourself. Why are you putting your business on the internet? I'm not, just, why the fuck you give a fuck? You're not my target audience. I'm speaking to a people who can connect to what the fuck I'm saying. Man, shout out to them, man. Shout out to these brave souls on the internet sharing their stories, speaking up and being heard with a purpose, with the intention of someone else being able, someone in their shoes being able to say, oh, I'm not alone. Getting back to my story, right? Getting back to my story about not being alone. I remember the last time I had an incident at my work, racist incident. It was so fucked up that I found myself saying, yo, telling my boss, I'm not working with these two anymore, these two people. Like, there's some racism I've been able to tolerate, but this, fuck that. But I remember when that incident happened, after I acknowledged it, how alone I felt in that fight. I'm surrounded by white people being like, oh, I don't believe there's be racism in 2020 in this time of year. Oh my God, I'm so shocked that that's it. Meanwhile, I'm feeling like, okay, all right, so I'm in this by myself. All the support I was getting was outside. I bring this up because part of me making a scene in front of two other people about the other person's abusive, toxic behavior. One is because it wasn't his first time. First time I did confront him directly, but it looks like it was just, and two, it was my way of saying, fuck that. Next time he acts up, it's going to be all our problem. Yeah, one person was like, yo, you kind of made our meeting a little awkward. Fuck you, man. We're in this together. Next time, yeah, y'all wanted to be silent? Well, you know, y'all going to feel my pain. Oh, and later it was confirmed that the same person I confronted, he has this habit of doing that, and he just ended up being that guy everyone talked bad about, or being that guy no one wants to work around, or being that guy that everyone just tolerates for the sake of keeping their jobs. Anyways, I'm pissed off at all these people out there in the world who should go into therapy. They're the ones who should be like talking to a therapist and say, fuck, people don't like me. Whatever. Anyways. Shout out to you survivors out there. And yeah, shout out to the survivors out there. That's all I'm going to say. And I'm going to leave it at that. All right. This concludes News and Random Thoughts. Didn't think it'd be that long, but let's jump to final thoughts. Okay? All right. Let's do this. Hoes, depressed. I'm not. I take my meds. I don't take meds for depression, but where's the butt for? Shout out to hoes depressed who are taking their meds, or who are not depressed because they're taking their meds. All right, okay. All right, what's up with today's title? What's up with the title? Thinking of a master plan. Now, if you're a hip-hop head, I think I'm going to make a requirement for this podcast. You got to be a hip-hop head. Intelligently, whatever. Okay, so the great Rakim Allah from his song "Paid in Full." Back then, he was part of a team. Eric B and Rakim, but they went their separate ways. But he had an album called, was it the "Paid in Full" album? Was "Paid in Full" on the "Paid in Full" album? Hold on, you're gonna make me look this up. "Paid in Full." Eric B and Rakim. My brain doesn't remember shit while I'm on the podcast. That's why I'm constantly Googling things that I should know. All right, okay, so it was the single from the album "Paid in Full." All right, okay, trust yourself, B. Okay, I smoked a lot of pot as a child. Actually, you know what? Recently, fuck it, yesterday. So I tend to be like, not be surprised when I don't remember shit. All right, okay, so okay, sorry, my headphones were acting up. I have to change the goddamn batteries. Where was I? Yeah, okay, so what's up with today's title? So the title comes from the first verse, the first rap verse in the "Paid in Full" track by Eric B and Rakim. Now, why the fuck? Okay, I did a little something different for today's final thought. Is usually I'll think of a thought and then find a song kind of links to the thought. But in this particular situation, it was a bit of both. It was, I played the song and inspired myself from that song. And a bit of both because That song took me back to the first time I thought I was financially fucked. Be more specific. I remember, so I bought my place, I got a mortgage and all that shit. When I got my mortgage, I had a contract job. And just to show you, when I got my mortgage, I remember being like, yo, fuck fear, just do it anyways. And whatever happens will happen. But I did not anticipate, because like I said, it was a contract job. And lo and behold, boss comes up and says, hey, we're not going to renew you for next month. We're not going to renew you for the next cycle. So technically, I had no job and a mortgage. And I remember that moment feeling like, I'm fucked. How the fuck? But I remember being in that moment. I was young when it happened, right? And reflecting on, oh, so this is what it means to be an adult. I have all these obligations. I have all these responsibilities. And no means to fulfill these responsibilities. But I remember how much that verse of thinking of a master plan. I know I fucked up the first time. It goes, thinking of a master plan. Because ain't nothing but sweat inside my hands. So I dig into my pockets. All my money is spent. So I dig deeper, but still coming up with lint. So I start my mission, leave my residence. Okay, well, in this song, he's like, I'm going to do something about the fact that I'm broke. Me, I just panic. I just freak the fuck out. I'm just, sure, back then I was a praying man. I was like, fuck, whatever. But back then, I had a bit of faith that shit was going to work out. The fact that I had took the time to reflect that, okay, my contract's not renewed. I did panic, but less than I panicked the second time that I was in a situation where I was financially fucked. So the first time around, I got to describe it. Yeah, I had a bit of faith. But it was enough that I was able to reflect on, okay, so that's what it means to be an adult. Okay, I'm going to have to do some cuts here, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to have to work on my resume. But boy, would it be easier if I could just sell drugs. If I could just get a kilo from Pablo and sell that shit, you know, because how hard it'd be. Like, all my favorite rappers are doing it. Anyway, I want to focus on that moment of being like, fuck. But yo, I think I was really grateful for the fact that I didn't have kids. I'm like, wow. Because I could afford to be like, if I had kids, yeah, I'd be panicking. I'd be, heart rate would be hot. I'd be like, yeah, I'd be like, sorry, kids, that's going to be a deadbeat. Good luck. You and your moms better be good luck. Sorry. Hey, I don't have any kids, so I can joke about being a deadbeat dad. All right, so, but I remember that moment of being financially fucked, and then things worked out in the end. Then a second time it happened. This second time was, felt a lot worse, maybe because I was older and a bit bitter about life and being like, yeah, there is no hope. The second time, and actually it relates to that first story I was telling you about here when I was at work, and I pretty much told my boss that, hey, I refuse to work with these two motherfuckers because of their racism. And you know what they ended up doing? Their solution to the problem was, take me off the team. I'm not complaining, but take me off the team. But, you know, and also if you want to take some time off, it was a joint decision, but I ended up taking some time off. You know, this might be my entry for the class action suit, but anyway, whatever. So I ended up taking some time off from work and going on stick leave. And at the time I didn't know I was on stress leave. I just knew that I had a note from my doctor saying, hey, B is fucked up. I don't know what y'all did to this nigga, but he might go John Brown on you, so I suggest y'all leave him alone. So I had a doctor's notes justifying that I can take some time off. I was feeling down, hoes depressed. I was hoes depressed with no meds, and I was a hoe depressed with no meds. All right, I feel out of all the stories, this might be the ones that I've shared on the podcast. This might be the one that actually gets attention, but whatever. Just say it for the sake of saying it. Where was I? Right. So, tell the bot, can't work with these two motherfuckers. And then, you know, they're like, okay, let's just allow to take some stress leave and go, you know, take some sick leave over it, right? Then I get to a point where my sick leave runs out. Yeah, poor me. I feel sorry for people who are listening to this. What the fuck is sick leave? Anyway, nice cushy job, has sick leave. My sick leave runs out. Get a message saying sick leave. I took it as it was their way of saying, hey, nigger, this ain't back to the plantation. I don't give a fuck how you feeling. You keep it together. Anyways, it was, but I remember getting that letter saying, you're out of sick leave. And then they gave me some blurb about, I didn't understand it, but talking to the insurance about getting long-term disability, whatever. And I mean, disabled, my leg's not broken. But I remember that moment of freaking the fuck out. And I was low already. Like, it took a lot out of me to, like, point out, it took a lot out of me to say, I can't work with these. Look, I've been tap dancing for a lot in this career. You know, it took a lot of me to be like, I can't do it anymore. Not with these two. I'll do it with the other French Canadian who every once in a while drops the N-word, but these motherfuckers, nah. It was that serious. And I knew I didn't want to go back. Anyways. But I remember that moment, stressed, you know. And you know, too, is looking for another job was not, didn't feel like it was in the cards because I was feeling like, you know, I don't know, the work just fucked me up. Had me convinced, you ain't shit. The only reason you got this job is because you're black. Whatever, man. It's because of your tap dancing. And now you're telling us you don't want to tap dance anymore. Anyways, I'm trying to focus on how much I felt fucked and had no other options. Now, the story works out because, you know, luckily I had a friend who knew how to fill out the paperwork to apply for long-term disability. That's how it worked out. I should point that out, right? But I had a friend that did that. But even when that friend, she was able to help me out, I was still feeling like, fuck this job. And remember feeling like I have no other options. Like, this is the only thing. You know, shout out to people who could connect to this idea of they have jobs, like the only thing good about it is the money. And they've convinced themselves that their job is like they're an abusive relationship, and they can't and they're convinced in the job, or the their spouse, their partner has convinced them, where are you gonna go? No one's gonna want you. Look how ugly you are. Anyways, I say all this. This is a long ass setup, just to say that I remember feeling fucked. And I remember feeling like I have no master plan. Just fuck. That's what, you know, powerless. And actually, that's why I went into therapy, because that voice in my head that's like, that's going to get better. Things are going to get better. Hold on. Either I wasn't listening to it, or it was silent, or I didn't believe it. I knew that was my red alert, because I couldn't get myself to believe that things were going to get any better. And I think, I might make this into a bit, but the punchline is like, you know, is, I kind of want to kill myself. So let me talk to this therapist, and if she can't say anything that talks me out of it. I mean, you know, I think my intention to go into therapy was for them to be, I was hoping she'd be like, yeah, I understand. Now I get it. Yeah, if I was you, I would kill myself too. Go for it. I guess I was telling myself that, yeah, if I can convince this therapist that I'm fucked, then I'm going to do it. All right. What was I saying? Yeah, I'm going to do it. Now, I guess this would qualify as a testimony, and this is where am I going with this whole story? This week, what happened is I confirm sign the paper. Like, it's in the bag. It's definitely right. But fast forward. It's amazing what 4 years difference will make, right? Fast forward 4 years later. I got promoted. To be more specific, like, I signed a letter of offer for my actual job, but with a higher pay raise and a different position, higher position. But the point is, I got promoted. And I promised myself that, like, when after I went through this depression, that I was going to be that guy who, like, preaches about things are going to get better. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to Mr. Inspire. I don't want to Mr. Hope at a TDJ. I don't want to be Mr. Sell You on Hope. But I do feel the need to acknowledge something happened that I didn't think was going to happen. I just need, for the sake of gratefulness, because I'd be a real asshole if you've been listening to my podcast, for one, I've been talking a lot of depressive shit, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I think I want it to be like, I understand, I get it. But I feel the need to point out shit did work out. The thing I didn't believe was going to happen ended up happening. Now, I'm not going to be on some life is great and all that shit. Again, feel the need to acknowledge that. Like, I've been here before. I remember reflecting on the lyrics, these lyrics of thinking of a master plan. Because ain't nothing but sweat inside my hand. Did I say that right? Yeah. Sweat inside my hand. Being broke. And believing that shit is not going to get better. Maybe I should probably give myself a bit credit. The fact that I was able to drag myself into therapy, maybe there was a part of me that believed that, yeah, shit's going to be better. We just need to get off our asses, though. Well, yeah, you know what's funny is, this is a big deal, this promotion, but it doesn't feel like it. It's like I'm tempted to, like, dismiss it as, okay, well, you're just going to fuck up that, you know. All I can think about is when the next shoe's going to drop, or what's the next thing I'm going to... The next time I'm going to be in that situation where I'm like, oh, I'm fucked. I guess shout out to you entrepreneurs who are like, you know, when they have these moments, they bounce back. Not me, man. But I guess in a way, this episode is like a testimonial. If I was still a Christian, I'd be like, God, this would be my testimony. This would be a testimony. If it's less like a testimony, it's more basic. Acknowledging the fact that things got better. Things did get better. And I'm thinking of all the times where, you know, first time I had a heartbreak, convinced I was never going to get out of that situation, and I did. I don't know. I guess there's nothing wrong with, yes, I don't want to be the guy who sells you on false hope, but I do have to acknowledge that shit worked out. Things got better. It takes two to make things all right. Part of me wants to sing Juicy. What's the line by Biggie? This album is dedicated to, I have the lyrics in front of me. It goes, he says, to all the people who lived above the buildings that I was hustling in front of, call the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter. Look, nigger, you sell drugs near my place, I'm calling the cops. Fuck that. Well, sorry, my point is, it was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. If there's any life lesson is, you gotta, for all the times you're willing to acknowledge shit sucks, you have to, that's my code. You have to be willing to also point out and acknowledge when things, like, this is my moment, when things get better. Things are better. Better Days. I'm thinking of Better Days by Brooklyn. Brooklyn Tabernacles. Yeah. Anyways, I guess it comes down to shout out to me. And you know what? You know, I'm not going to overthink this. I'm just going to take it day by day, one day at a time. And right now, this day, I'm just using it to be like, all right, shit worked out. You know, did I mention I wanted to be in the motivational speaker business? Then life happened. I'm like, fuck of that. I ain't got shit to share. But who knows? Maybe that's the point. Maybe not. Anyways, I just don't want to be over. Shut up. Okay, look. Things worked out. End the story there. I'm going to stop myself from talking before I feel like wings. All right, before I say something I don't mean to say. Okay. With that said, this concludes today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it with my stuffy nose. I don't know what it is with this goddamn room. Anyways, yeah. You know, maybe I should start asking for donations. I could get a better studio where I could record in an area where my nose doesn't get all cloggy and shit. Anyways, all right. So, as always, if anything that I said connected with you, I would love to hear from you. Share your thoughts at shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. What was that? Shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. One last time. Shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. The powers of three, kids. And website address is shutuppodcast.com, but it's kind of under construction. It's there, but I'm not really that proud of it. It's not the website. Like, you know, if I was in a bar trying to pick up some chicks, I wouldn't. It's not at a state where I'd be like, yo, check out my website, lady. What's a podcast? And that's why I don't go clubbing anymore. All right, okay. As always, thank you for listening. And as always, please remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.